welcome back to another exciting adventure right here on Radio Wasteland, the best in absolutely anything. I'm your host, Chauncey Hallworth. This is my co-host, Kara Kittrick.
The best in any topic, anything. Noun.
Best burger. all right, Kara, what's going on in the news?
Okay, so we start out in the New York sewers, where scientists have found isolated samples of coronavirus that display unique mutations. They don't think these mutations are harmful, necessarily. They've been floating around for a while, apparently, without overtaking strains like Omicron and Delta. But they don't know where they came from, possibly from infected rodents or other animals. So far, none of these strains have shown up in any human patients.
So when I saw this, I was thinking, like, is this uncommon?
Like, right,
are they just sending us this, like to freak us out, and there's actually like crazy strains of hepatitis down there too or something, or is this like something that I should actually care about?
Honestly, I suspect it's more clickbaity than anything else.
Right.
But like, it is of scientific interest. I don't know that this story is actually, this is not something anyone should panic or care about if you're not like studying COVID, because this is the genre of news that's like scientists say something that is mainly intended for other scientists being like, hey, isn't this weird? And then the news people are like, if we do the headline in such and such a way, then people will panic, and so that's what we're gonna do because we want clicks. So I think that's kind of it, because definitely there are so many strains of every virus and pathogen on Earth, and they're all over the place all the time. So,
yeah, because you know, the first thing I thought when I read it, really, mm-hmm. The first thing I thought, which I assume is the same first thing a lot of people thought, at least in my age bracket, and that's Lamprey Man Monster of the Week from the X-Files.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's what this story is doing on our show.
Yeah. Because, like, I heard it and I'm all, oh, my God, you know, that's going to happen.
Right. Yeah, no, I think that is the association they're sort of going for. Like, we got two things. We got sewer monster rat weirdness.
Yeah.
We got unexplained COVID mutations. Put them together, you get a terror sandwich.
Right. Yeah, so, is one of your news articles Rudy Giuliani?
Actually, no, it isn't.
Okay, then I'll tell you.
Did he do something? Please tell me.
But so you know about Rudy Giuliani being on The Masked Singer?
Oh, yes. Yeah, I don't watch that show. But, yeah.
You know, people
did they have Sarah Palin on? Like, having Rudy isn't worse than having Sarah Palin.
Well, she didn't try to, you know, help overthrow the government.
Yeah, but she would have if she was in the government.
Pitbull with lipstick. So there's a test that my wife has online to see how people feel about things, and you take the test, you can see what people, you know, a poll.
Uh-huh.
And the question for the Rudy Giuliani thing was, do you think Rudy Giuliani was NBC going a little too far, or was it brilliant marketing? And I'm all like, it was totally both.
Yeah, like those are not mutually exclusive. That's a bad way. That's just a bad way to frame that question, because both are true. Right.
And to bring this back around, we were talking about the news and the clickbaity of the Lamprey Man and the X-Files thing. I'm saying this is totally both. This is going a little too far with the news, but it's also pretty cool.
Yeah, it's freaky stuff. I think we should live in a world where all news articles are like, normal, boring thing happened here. Every news article should read like an abstract in a scientific journal, you know? And no one would read them, and good. They'll read them if they're important.
How about a haiku?
A haiku, maybe? A haiku.
Every single one is a haiku.
But I don't know. I feel like you could make a sensationalist. No, you can't, because it's just too. It's too
disease
classic.
Found in sewer. Lamprey man attacks. I don't know.
Yeah, but No, I mean, a haiku is an inherently calming art form. So maybe that would balance out the hysteria of the headlines.
Right.
Yeah. I don't know. It's...
That's it. Haiku News, control, man. Haikunews.com.
Yeah.
That's the big break. All right. What else? Anything uplifting?
Yeah,
is this next one uplifting? Is it ever?
Well, you decide. So, a massive brawl involving more than 40 people occurred at an OK Corral. Cause of the fight was unknown, but it may have started after the restaurant ran out of steak, which I think we can all agree is a very big deal. Video shows people throwing furniture at each other.
Okay, so I have to admit that I have had a lot of laughs sharing this with people. So it is.
Yes, I got it from you.
Yeah. It is somewhat uplifting. Yeah. But at the same time, I think it shows... I thought it was like, okay, this is the end of civilization. You know, this is, you know.
No.
There was a lot of people. Did you watch this video?
Yeah, there were like 40 people. Yeah. But this is also nothing new.
Well,
In the 20s, there was a riot at an opera.
Yeah, yeah. And there's somebody shooting somebody over a Popeye's chicken sandwich, you know.
Right, exactly.
I think these are examples that it's not just politics to blame for the state of our country.
No, human nature has never changed. And it happens that we are...
I'd like to think that it has. We're less murderous than we were.
Are we?
You're way safer now than you were in 1560.
We're safer.
Anywhere on the planet.
But that does not mean we're less murderous. It means we have systems that...
Keep us from murdering?
Exactly, but the internal murder number of the average person, I'll bet, has never changed.
All right.
So I think you see it leaking through every now and then. And
Well, I mean, that raises a good question: Are we breeding out the bad guys by sending them to jail or you know?
I doubt it.
Whatever.
I doubt it.
Are we doing the same things to ourselves that we did to wolves?
Well, okay, so first of all, who we sent to jail and who was actually the bad guys are two Venn diagrams that are not, like, I think if our justice system was perfect, then yes, probably we would be doing that, but, like, everyone in the world knows that it's mostly, like, people of color and just poor people whose poverty is criminalized who wind up in prison.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, I agree with you. I meant, like, on a global scale.
Yeah, on a global scale, maybe, but we've always had systems of justice, and also evolution takes place over 10,000, 100,000 of years, and civilization in its current form has existed for, like, a couple thousand, so it's way too soon to see any tangible results.
Okay, I have a crazy question. This is a potentially socially canceling question.
Okay, lay it on me.
But, I mean, it's an acceptable question. It's a scientifically valid question. And
should we kill black people?
No. Throughout history...
You are worrying me. I don't know where you're going with this.
It's close. Throughout history, men have subjugated women on just about every culture.
Sure. Yeah.
Through doing that for 200,000 years... Have we inadvertently bred a more docile woman?
Yeah, maybe.
Okay.
So honestly,
nobody's coming after me.
Evolutionary psychologists would tell you possibly.
Okay.
Other people would say evo psych as a discipline is not very rigorous, and its practitioners tend to be weird, horny men. But, you know... This is actually not a crazy question to raise. It's possible.
All right. Then I'm proud of myself. And I believe that people should call me brave, but continue.
It is worth noting that, like, most of that time we were hunter-gatherer societies, right? And the repression of women in, like, a tribal hunter-gatherer situation is very different than, say, the repression of women in Puritan New England.
Yeah, they kill them. So there's no chance for them to enter the gene pool.
Wait, what do you mean?
Well, in a caveman society, I mean, they were cavemen. Haven't you seen them? They hit them with a club and they drag them by the hair.
Yeah, but that's, I mean, that's how it's portrayed in movies. That's not actually accurate. You know, with it, hunter-gatherers, women did the gathering, and, like, it wasn't equal or anything, but it was certainly more of a, there's a difference between that, I would argue, and, like, systemic, society-wide telling women that God says you're inferior kind of thing, which there's no evidence cultures across the world did. Right. Like some cultures did, but certainly not all. So
it's all right. I forget what this new segment was about. So why don't we move on?
Yeah, it was about buffets.
Wasteland comes to you from the Reading studios of Free Fire Radio, 96.5 FM and AM 1460. Visit Radio Wasteland at Instagram at instagram.com/Radio Wasteland.
Robotic hounds built by a rival company to Boston Dynamics are being tested as sentries at the U.S. border, which seems dystopian. They are right now being set up to navigate preset GPS routes with cameras to watch for intruders, but also have routines to deal with potentially hostile individuals, hauntingly.
This is one of those days we know is coming.
Yeah.
This is how I feel about cloning as well. There, in the history of humanity, there has never been an invention that was advantageous that we didn't use.
Right.
This is going to happen. No matter how much we don't like it, how much we don't get it, and so on and so forth, this is going to happen. So I think we need to put our efforts into making sure that it happens responsibly and ethically and in a way that we all sort of agree on the baseline understanding instead of going out in the Wild West and allowing everything bad to possibly happen before we make rules about it 150 years from now.
Yeah, I agree.
Because I agree it's scary because, you know, there is one thing that would terrify me more than coming through a dark desert and seeing a cowboy with a gun, and that is a robot dog with a gun.
Right. And right now these robot dogs don't have guns, but they can hurt people. They are designed to hurt people. And, you know, just the fact that they're being used for surveillance, this tells me that, you know, the innovation of drone soldiers with machine guns is probably not that far away. Because, like,
oh, they're
if we can
build... They got
it. Well, yeah, I mean, we have...
If they're sending this thing out on the streets, they got it. You know.
Yeah. No, okay, I see what you're saying. Yeah, probably. Maybe. they still have some issues like battery life and stuff. So it's like, but
burnout,
I don't know.
I was actually thinking about this yesterday. Sorry, go ahead.
Well, I just hate how Fahrenheit 451 continually proves itself to be like the most accurate sci-fi novel for a future. I hate that this is because it has mechanical hounds used by the police. It has seashells that you put in your ears to listen to stuff and tune out the world.
Right.
Ear pods. It had
TVs the size of the wall of your house.
Yes. It had that. It had book burnings. It had suburban housewives overdosing.
It also had the part that I find the most scary about it. and that is, of all the sci-fi dystopian novels like that, I want to say it's the only one I know of that got to that future via a democracy.
Right. Yeah, the people were all like, they wanted for all this stuff.
Right.
And it's like, oh, I hate that he was right.
Yeah.
And it's all happening. I hate, why couldn't we have gotten Star Trek?
Yeah,
I would
totally.
I would have even preferred, you know, something like, I don't know, so cyberpunk dystopia kind of. I would have preferred like Neuromancer or something.
Rollerball. Just you know.
Well, just because at least it's like.
What was that one? Turbo Kid? You watch Turbo Kid?
Don't know about Turbo
Kid. Okay, never mind. I'll send it to you later. Good movie.
Yeah. But at least those are like action packed and adventurous. This Fahrenheit 451 is just the most banal version of a nightmare society. And that's where we're going. At least in Brave New World, everyone is on fun drugs.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Yeah. There was some degree of that one might have been a, well, I don't know. We're going to have to do a dystopian show because there's a whole lot.
Oh, yeah.
All right, so what do you got next?
Okay, so...
This is the last one, I think?
Yes. So continuing on my Fahrenheit 451 bench, because I got to do it. We're on the topic. Dozens of books by authors of colors have been pulled off the shelves in small towns across the country for, quote, teaching critical race theory, even though, actually, none of them have anything to do with this law school-level concept. Many of them are children's books that just happen to incidentally mention the existence of racism, or don't even do that, but have non-white characters. Much of this spurred last fall when a Texas representative released a list of about 850 books that he claimed, quote, make students feel discomfort. For the most part, these are books that simply include non-white or non-straight characters. This at the same time that Mouse, a book about the horrors of the Holocaust, was removed from the curriculum in a Tennessee county due to bad language. Will probably be replaced with a more lighthearted book about the Holocaust, one that doesn't feature actual stories from the time, such as The Boy in the Striped Pajamas. I editorialized a little bit there.
Yeah, no, I get you. I get you. Might as well be like the real news instead of the fake news, right? Editorialize.
Yeah. Hey, we are not journalists, and we have no obligation whatsoever, so...
No, I saw something on the news about people burning some books, and I did joke to myself about it yesterday, not joking about this. I mean, I think this is absolutely terrible, but I'm in Target, and the town I live in, Medford, or at least I live outside of Medford, Oregon, is very white.
Yeah.
The population is very white. And in there, they have, like, this whole section for, like, Black history, and one said, like... something to the effect of like noir goddess, you know, like I'm a black goddess.
Right.
And like, I was looking at it going like, you'd think they would have maybe not shipped that shirt here. They would have shipped like noir goddess ally shirts here, you know? And like, and so you'd think they maybe would have distributed their wares a little bit better, but yeah, I'm starting to think that there is a massive white power cabal in this country that because I always thought it was just like sort of like hidden guilt and like, I don't want to be like, but now I think it might be card carrying because who's that Florida dude? They straight up asked him about Nazis after he talked about one of them.
I'm not sure. Are you talking about Ron DeSantis?
Yeah. They straight else? And he never said the word. He said, we're not even talking about that. None of them actually say the words Nazis are bad. And it's like, how hard is it to say Nazis are bad? Just say it. I just want to hear some people say Nazis are bad. When people say, what do you think of Nazis? Go, Nazis are bad. Next question. You know, obviously, everything. You know, it's
you
like,
know, it was like the Charlottesville thing a bunch of years ago. Like, asking the president to condemn, like, a bunch of neo-Nazis shouting about Jews and stuff.
Yeah.
It's kind of a slam dunk, but instead he went, you know, they're probably nice guys. I don't want to alienate nobody.
People on both sides. You know?
Yeah, it was like,
no, I see, at the time, I was thinking you meant, like, both sides, like, some of them were his base with legitimate arguments, and I'm thought, okay, maybe there are some nice people over there. And then, no. I think there is some sort of card-carrying conspiracy, and I think, I don't know, probably not.
Well,
what do you think?
That is what people of color have been saying about, like, rural America forever. So, you know.
How can you be so concerned about hating a person that, in a lot of these cases, you never see? I mean, I live in a very white area. I mean, I couldn't hate black people. I haven't known enough in my life to hate them.
Honestly, same. Like, that's kind of sad how white all my circles are. But, like, I think a lot of this is just, like, we don't want to hear anything that makes us feel white guilt. You know, I think there is definitely a strain of that.
Yeah.
But that in itself is definitely, like, hugely racist. Like,
but there are a lot of people out there who are identifying with Christopher Columbus and Jefferson Davis as, like, a fellow white dude. I don't have, basically, you can be in my family. No offense if my family's listening, but if you're outside of, like, my parents, maybe my grandparents, we pretty much cut it off there. I kind of view you as like, yeah, sure, we're related, but I'm not connected
right.
to that person's decisions in any way.
You yeah.
know, I don't feel responsible for the genetic, hell, I don't even feel it for my kids. I got three. One of them's bound to fuck, you know, mess up. You know, one's bound to be one.
Interesting. I think you had the audience, and then they were like, okay.
But yeah, do these people really feel the connection? Like, if it's a black person is talking to you, and they say, yeah, well, white people held black people as slaves. I'm like, oh, holy crap, I'm white. I did this. You know, it's like, what's the problem with item? It's weird.
KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at kcnr1460.com. Join Sue McClain weekday mornings from 6 to 7 for the Sue McClain News Hour, where you'll hear the up-to-the-minute local news, national and international news, weather, sports, and a whole lot more. Followed by Free Fire Radio from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. with Carl and Linda Bach. From 9 to noon, be informed and laugh along with Armstrong and Getty, equal opportunity critics. From noon to 3, learn how to get out of debt with Dave Ramsey. From 3 to 6, don't miss constitutional expert Mark Levin. Monday through Thursday nights, starting at 6 p.m., we have local shows featuring everything from the paranormal, local history, North State Now, and unsung heroes of our area. From 7 to 9, tune in to Ben Shapiro, your local downtown radio station, KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at kcnr1460.com.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
The YMCA is welcoming new members to come and enjoy the many choices the YMCA has to offer. The YMCA has a variety of fitness activities, including swimming, aqua aerobics, cardio, weights, group power classes, and booty yoga. There's over 100 classes to choose from. The YMCA is so much more than a gym. The Y is a community. Join the YMCA. 246-YMCA. Or go online to sfymca.org.
Now is a great time to prepare for this year's upcoming wildfire season. Reading Electric Utility and City of Reading staff are busy clearing vegetation to mitigate wildfire risk to our facilities and to the community. You can also prepare by trimming back shrubs and tree branches that are closer than 5 feet from your home, clear debris from your roof and gutters, and clear dead vegetation on your property. For information about tree trimming and proximity of power lines, call 530-224-4356. We all need to work together to prevent wildfires in our community.
Hey friends, this is RC with Tobacco and Brew. Today we're talking about the Fugly from Tabacalera El Artista. Coming in a 5x40 Vitola, the Fugly is priced just right for our value-conscious customers. Draped in a chocolatey brown San Andres leaf, presented in natural or Maduro, this stick is a throwback to a Cheroot vintage. The Fugly from Tabacalera El Artista, Tobacco and Brew, Redding, California.
You're listening to Chauncey and Kara on Radio Wasteland right here on 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. That's Free Fire Radio. And don't forget to follow Radio Wasteland on Facebook at facebook.com/radiowasteland.us.
I mean, I think a lot of these things that were banned were also, like I said, incidentally mentioning the existence of racism today, which is a huge no-no on the right.
I see.
Basically. Like, so I have
saying
actually
that we live in a non-racist world today.
Yes, I have talked to Republicans, in fact, Republicans who we both know, who have been like, there is no racism in this country. Black people don't have it any harder. Which, those exact words, in that order, I have heard, and I was just, like, flabbergasted. I'm like, what reality do you live in to even remotely believe that? It makes no sense.
Well, the reality they live in is a world that is just black and white, you know? Because look at the left. The left is a world the reason why they're fighting is because there's the left who is portraying this message, at least the stuff that's being shared with them. I'm not saying everybody on the left, that America is terrible. America sucks. Sure. Nothing's gotten better for anybody. You know, black people don't have it better than they did 100 years ago. When, you know, some crazy messaging where it's just so black and white. And they're all like, we totally sucked. Now we kind of suck, and tomorrow we're hoping to suck a little bit less, you know, or America was great in the beginning, then we got greater, and tomorrow we hope to be even better. That's the same statement each time, just, I don't know.
Yeah, I feel like...
Sorry, I didn't mean to ramble.
Here's my thinking on that, which is that it is obvious that we have gotten better. And any criticism of, like, racism today should not have to come with a disclaimer to spare white people's feelings that, yes, it is, at least we don't have slaves anymore.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. What kind of argument is that?
I think if you're if you hear someone talking about racism and your thinking is, like, this makes me uncomfortable, this makes me feel bad, it's like, maybe it does, but that's a sign that you need to get over yourself. And people don't want to hear that.
I find the best way out of those conversations is, yeah, that's terrible that those people did that.
Right.
And I mean it. You know, makes it easy. I'm not even lying. It is terrible that those people did that.
Right. So it's like, I don't know.
I think people got really confused when they started bringing up how life today is holding up old racist institutions that we don't even necessarily know that we're contributing to.
Exactly.
You know, and I think that's where people really kind of started to get confused. I get confused on that, but then I finally decided, you know, there was a time that I was like back and forth. And I'm like, well, what did I do? This is stupid. I don't know. I'm trying to figure it out. And finally I decided, well, if I go through my life just being a nice person, I think I'll probably do more good than damage. So I'm going to keep doing that.
Yeah.
When it comes to the micro stuff, don't get me wrong. When it comes to the big stuff, it's easy to find a footing to fight from. You know, sure, yeah, a lot of the little stuff. It's hard to find a footing to even fight for.
Right. Yeah, and I think a lot of it is, I don't know, it's a difficult thing to talk about, because it is much more complicated, I think, now than, like, in the 60s, you could say, hey, we really can't vote, right? Because if we go to the polls, Klan members will shoot us.
Right.
That's a real easy thing to wrap your head around.
Exactly, yeah.
Versus
an easy
something,
thing to find to fight. There's the obvious enemy.
Right, versus something like these districts are poor because they, basically because of racism, but the racism happened, you know, 100 years ago, but no one has bothered to update and, like, no one has bothered to make any reparations for this, no one has bothered to fix any of the infrastructure that's broken. You know, it's over-policed because there's lots of kids who had lead poisoning who committed crimes. That, and then that kind of thing is like, okay, but who are the Klan members in this scenario, right? Who is the obvious culprit who is clearly committing bad acts against black people because they hate black people? Like, that's harder to find in these latter examples. It's more just like uncaring guys who don't really want to fix the problem because it costs money that they prefer to spend
so
on
dads.
White people.
All day.
Yeah, exactly.
Uncaring guys who don't want to fix the problem because it costs money.
Right, and it's harder to get riled up about that. And, you know, you get into the nitty-gritty, and right-wing outlets have, on any issue you care to mention, have really just flooded the narrative with, you know, hundreds and hundreds of arguments, most of which are just random and disingenuous and don't make any sense. And it's just like, it's hard to pick through it. It's hard to debunk all of them. It's hard to wrap your head around it. So it's, you know, I've heard people talking about, well, you know, black people getting shot isn't that big a deal because the police mostly don't shoot people. You know, it's like great logic there.
Right. How is that? You know, yeah. I think I have a test to find out if our world is racist. People say our world isn't racist or our world is super racist. I got a test. And it's easy. It's something we should have done from the beginning, but it'll definitely work now. Squares.
Okay. I'm excited. Squares.
Squares.
Squares. Okay.
Take all the gerrymandering, all the districts, everything. Use squares. I'm sick of all these crazy angled lines and the addresses and all this gerrymandering and stuff like that. We just cut to squares. If it moves back to being hella racist, we know we got a problem. But if it just evens out and everything gets better, well, then we know that we weren't in a racist world. More realistically, it'll do something in between and everything will get better. Squares, man. We need squares.
I mean, God, I have never met a pro-gerrymandering voter. You know?
Really?
I've never met... Because, look, gerrymandering is something. Both sides do it. But it is... And this is accurate, that it is mostly restricted to the right now. Like, many states on the left, you know, most blue states at this point have passed anti-gerrymandering measures, like California, like Oregon, like Washington. And they do have basically grids. The egregious gerrymandering you see is basically this in the South to keep, you know, red states from turning purple or straight up blue. Like, if Georgia had a grid, it would vote Democratic every single election.
Right. Well,
but
I mean, why would
I've never met a Republican. I've never met a Republican voter who's like, yeah, I'm pro that.
Hmm.
You know, it's just the politicians. And it's like, man,
well,
you gotta
stop. While we're on the topic of race, what's your take on this Joe Rogan?
I mean, I don't really know anything about him. I've basically heard that he's kind of an Alex Jonesy wacko, but...
Yeah, well, he's basically kind of... He's definitely not like Alex Jones. He's a once stand-up comedian that is way into and maybe did MMA for a while. And he basically has a talk show where he'll talk to people for like 4 hours and, you know, kind of like Art Bell, only he'll have people on like Sanjay Gupta and stuff like that. I don't particularly like his show, but I don't know. Now they're playing a big loop of him using the N-word, but in the entire loop, he's using it in story context every time they have him say it. So I was just kind of curious what your take was on him there.
The only stuff I know about Joe Rogan is just like vague hearsay because I've never listened to him or just cared to sort of engage with his whole thing. So
yeah, I have pretty similar feelings.
what I understand is that he's had a bunch of like basically straight up fascists on the show that he's had, you know, parroted some pretty screwed up right wing talking points. So, you know, I don't love him because of that. I've just, again, vaguely heard these things from people I trusted, but not bothered to look into any of it.
Yeah.
Because
that's accurate.
There are a million guys like Joe
that's
Rogan,
probably
you know?
Yeah.
you don't gotta go out and, like, debunk each one and figure out where you stand on Joe Rogan. Like, I don't listen to a show. It doesn't matter where I stand.
Yeah. All right. Well, you are listening to Radio Wasteland. Come on back. There's more.
This is Dr. Patricia Bay, and my radio show, Therapy in a Nutshell, which airs on Saturdays at 11 a.m. on KCNR 1460 a.m. or 96.5 FM, is a great show for you to listen to and learn how to effectively change your life. We talk about issues such as communication and trust, couples issues, and many more. Also, you can listen to the radio show on my podcast through the Anchor app, which is free and safe. Or you can tune into the iTunes or Spotify podcast and listen to it there. It's a nice show that'll help you throughout the day and throughout your life. So join me for Therapy in a Nutshell, Saturdays, 11 a.m. at KCNR Radio. This is Dr. Patricia Bay, trying to heal the world 1 hour at a time.
You get me every time.
Shasta County, are you ready for something real special? Mary's Pizza Shack has some changes. We're now Charlie's Tap House, and a tap house rule number one is come in for the homemade pizzas, pastas, and other house-made specialties, and stay for the beer wall.
Mary's Pizza Shack is now Charlie's Tap House, pizza, pasta, grill. Same family owners and same homemade recipes. Plus, a few more you'll want to try for yourself. Friday nights, try our special hand-cut prime rib for just $28 with all the fixings. And all week, you can enjoy surf and turf or salmon and polenta.
Don't miss Shasta County's premier tap beer wall with your favorite beers on demand that you can order by the ounce. Try our new house beer collaboration with Woody's Brewing, Flippin' Hazy. Your taste buds will thank you. And when you sign up for our Tap House Rewards program, you'll automatically get $5 off towards your next order. Remember, our vibe is casual. The atmosphere is social.
Order online at charlews.com. That's charlews.com.
Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon until 2. Our expert guests will give you the whole story rather than a bunch of sound bites. Our commercial-free archives are always available at wethepeopleradio.us.
Sponsored in part by Pape Machinery, located at 3119 Twinview Boulevard, for all your local John Deere ag and turf products. Join us every Sunday from noon until 2, wethepeopleradio.us.
What shall we do about them?
The YMCA is welcoming new members to come and enjoy the many choices the YMCA has to offer. The YMCA has a variety of fitness activities, including swimming, aqua aerobics, cardio, weights, group power classes, and booty yoga. There's over 100 classes to choose from. The YMCA is so much more than a gym. The Y is a community. Join the YMCA. 246-YMCA. Or go online to sfymca.org.
You're listening to Free Fire Radio, 96.5 FM, 1460 AM. You're listening to Radio Wasteland with Chauncey and Kara. Find all our shows and archives by visiting Radio Wasteland at radiowasteland.us.
Hey, Chauncey, you want some depressing history?
Yeah.
It doesn't sound like you really want it, though.
I mean, you know.
Take your medicine.
Yes. I'll confront the history of mine.
You'll confront. Okay, so this isn't actually bad stuff we did this time. I want to take it to Russia, specifically the fact that they have never really had a fair election in that country's history. So the 2007, 2011, 2016, and 2021 elections have all been accused of being heavily rigged in favor of the ruling United Russia Party by a plethora of journalists and foreign observers. Reportedly, soldiers working for the government forced many individuals at voting stations to cast votes for the ruling party through threat of violence, and the final vote count reported by the United Russian Party differed heavily from the vote count tallied by observers from rival political parties and the foreign press. And in 2021, observers were not really even allowed to take part in the election at all due to allegedly COVID-19 restrictions. And on top of all of this, the ability of parties other than the United Russia Party to do any kind of like campaigning has been pretty non-existent due to various laws restricting political activity by non-government entities and by intimidation from authorities and violent supporters of the president. So this has been going on since the 90s, but it's thought that the elections in Russia in sort of the late 90s and very early 2000s were probably a lot more fair than they are today. Kind of mid-2000s to today that they've been like, yeah, we're not really going to try to do this whole democracy thing.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's always amazing to me that people put up with this sort of thing, you know, because these are massive populations. You know, you think about North Korea, I mean, those people aren't doing very good, yet they put up with this dude. They actually kind of sound like they like him sometimes. They believe their own stuff, you know, and I'm under the impression Russians kind of like Vladimir Putin.
Yeah, well, again, it's kind of hard to know how many do and how many don't.
Right, yeah.
Like, polls aren't any more accurate than the elections, right? And no one's really doing polls in the first place.
Well, Americans seem to like him more.
Ugh. Yeah, they shouldn't, because it sucks.
Yeah. But yeah, I'm just always amazed that one person, or even a group of people, you know, are able to control a population. Another thing that irritates me is we've talked about this, people's use of words, and that Russia is not a communism. It has never been a communism. If it was a communism, it was for like 48 hours at best, you know, and people take the word communism and apply it to places like Russia and China for some reason, and they just ain't, you know.
Well, I feel like, okay, I can push back on that one a little bit, because I feel like the USSR, I mean, obviously they failed to, like, achieve the goals of communism, but capitalism has arguably failed to achieve the goals of capitalism, but we still call the real thing that existed in the real world that was practiced by capitalists capitalism. So I feel like it's fair to call what communism sort of ended up being in the USSR a form of communism.
Well, it was more of an oligarch.
Well, yeah, but that has nothing to do with communism. Communism is a democratic, is a economic system. The political system is irrelevant to whether it's communist or not. And it was essentially communist in the sense that, you know, there was no private property. There was no sort of, like, there was sort of worker control in a sense, but again, that tied into the sort of political problems of the country. Like, but there's no question they didn't, like, achieve what the dreams of sort of the communist revolutionaries were, but, and their system sucked. Like, let's not mince words. The USSR was bad news. But I don't know, I think it's fair to say they got as close to, like, communism as anyone did, and the party was called the Communist Party. I think we need to judge the facts of communism based on what it turned out to be like, not based on what it was supposed to be.
Well, do you think that you think it's a dictatorship now?
Well, I think it's an oligarchy, essentially. But I think the U.S. is an oligarchy too, honestly. They're much closer to a dictatorship. Like, I don't think our elections are truly fair, but they're certainly closer.
You think Trump?
There are degrees, and I think their elections are, they essentially might as well not have them, because there's no way for the ruling party to lose if they're the only ones allowed to campaign, and they are the ones who get to say what the vote count was.
Right.
You know, they're the ones who get to say, hey, we won.
Right.
So, which is like, we don't have that in our system. Like, our voting system, I think the Electoral College sucks and all that, but, like, I think our system, at least as it is now, is relatively secure against that kind of thing, just because the people in charge of it, up until now, have basically been, like, local officials who aren't very partisan.
Right, right.
I know there has been a big push since 2020. Like, Steve Bannon on his show has been, like, telling people, go out and run for these offices and then make sure Trump wins, essentially. It's like, which seems like a conflict of interest, but,
right.
Seems like they shouldn't be able to get elected, but they can. So, like, I think there are serious vulnerabilities. I don't think those vulnerabilities have necessarily been exploited. And it's not the same situation in, like, countries like Russia, where election fraud happens because the ruling party controls every level of the election.
Yeah, that's terrifying.
Yeah.
Well, you succeeded.
I depressed you?
That is depressing. I'm thinking maybe we should do the depressing part not right at the end. So on a downer note, see you next week.
Look, I'm here to hurt people and cause problems.
Oh, okay. Well,
that's my whole thing. So,
job well done.
Thank you.
All right. You've been listening to Radio Wasteland. Check us out next week.
Louis Black, Off the Rails Tour.
You want a political commentator? Then bring on a barnyard animal. They have more to say to us. Like a lamb. What did you think, lamb? Bah. Back to you.
February 27th, Reading Civic Auditorium. Tickets are on sale now at readingcivic.com. Louis Black reminding you, I'll see you in February.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill we all have to pay? The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson state of mind.
Louis Black, Off the Rails Tour.
You want a political commentator? Then bring on a barnyard animal. They have more to say to us. Like a lamb. What did you think, lamb? Bah! Back to you.
February 27th, Reading Civic Auditorium. Tickets are on sale now at readingcivic.com. Louis Black reminding you, I'll see you in February.
Pro Rehab Physical Therapy and Sports Performance is now open at 3673 Eureka Way. Physical therapists Kevin Elo and Rachel Lang have a combined 29 years of experience in helping those who've suffered orthopedic injuries, strains, and sprains. Kevin has worked with the USA Gymnastics team, NFL Combine, and professional BMX riders. He's also helped members of Cirque du Soleil get back into action. Rachel works closely with seniors and is also a group fitness instructor and adept at returning people to an active lifestyle. Both Kevin and Rachel at Pro Rehab Physical Therapy and Sports Performance are accepting new clients. Give them a call today, 530-533-5030. If you are in need of physical therapy, talk to the experts at Pro Rehab Physical Therapy and Sports Performance at 3673 Eureka Way. Call 530-533-5030. That's 530-533-5030 today.
Hi, this is Matt. I'm your host of Liberty Unabashed, a new show on Sundays, 8 to 9. We're going to have some good music, some deep thought, and I hope you check us out.
Tobacco and Brew, located at 2143 Hilltop Drive, has been an integral part of our...
This Hawaiian mini vacation is brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. So what does professional office cleaning have to do with relaxing in a tropical paradise? Frankly, nothing. But Maui Bob and the crew want to remind you to be sure to take the time for what's important in this workaday world. Family, friends, and yes, even yourself. And if their professional office cleaning services can help you make that time, give them a call at 221-5868. This Hawaiian mini vacation was brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, 221-5868.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.